It's 2:33. This is Detroit Today. I'm Craig Folly. And, you know, if you're a fan of the Glenn Beck program, either for comedic value or news value, I'm not going to make any judgments either way. But he mentioned something called the Overton Window on his program the other day. Now, this is a concept that was created at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, an admittedly conservative think tank here in Michigan. But we thought we'd get more information as to what the Overton Window is all about. My guest right now, Joe Lehman, president of the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. Joe, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Craig.
Well, it's remarkable. One mention of the Overton Window, which is a Mackinac Center for Public Policy idea, one mention on the Glenn Beck Show makes this the number two Googled idea in one day's time. Pretty remarkable for a political theory, is it not?
Yeah, that we were very amazed, and we have talked about this Overton Window idea among ourselves, always considered it kind of inside baseball. We were thrilled that Glenn Beck picked up on a Mackinac Center idea, and then that it rose to, I think, number two on Google Trends, and our hits on our website have been going through the roof.
You know, here's the question, though, and before we get into the Overton Window itself, did he represent the concept accurately?
He represented a special case of the concept. As you know from our prior discussion, the Overton Window talks about what kinds of options politicians have available to them at any point in time. What can elected officials do, and what things can't they do? And sometimes politicians are such effective leaders that they can change the climate of opinion and make an idea that used to be unacceptable, they can make it acceptable. But most of the time, it's forces outside the elected officials' control that shape the environment they live in.
Well, and we'll get into exactly how that works in just a second, you know, which types of cases and politicians are powerful enough to move the window. But let's talk about the window itself and how it was originally envisioned by the Mackinac Center. In fact, Joseph Overton from the Mackinac Center, the late vice president there, is the one that came up with this idea. You basically rate concepts from more free to less free?
That's exactly right. And my friend Joe Overton, who tragically was killed 6 years ago, he was the vice president of the Mackinac Center at the time, and Joe observed that at any point in time, you can arrange policy ideas. And let's take taxation for an example. You could say, well, one idea for an income tax is a 10% income tax, and another idea is a 20% income tax. You could go all the way up to 100% income tax, all the way down to zero. Well, you can arrange them in order, you know, from more government to less government, more free, less free. And at any point in time, a politician, an elected legislator, can't just pick and choose the tax rate off of a menu that he likes. He is constrained by what the public will accept. He's constrained by what his financial supporters will accept if he wants to get reelected. And so those constraints act like a window. And maybe at any given point in time, only those tax rates between, say, 10% and 30% are within a window of political possibility. Things outside that window are considered too radical for an elected official to touch.
Yeah, and you know, you have a great example on your website, taking a look at the issue of education to exemplify this window here. For instance, you have at the top end, no government schools. That would be, you know, a very sort of free idea. And then at the bottom said you have compulsory indoctrination in government schools, the total opposite extreme. In between, parents pay for only the education they choose, which would allow them to opt out of paying, you know, for their public schools if they want to go to, you know, private schools, tuition tax credits, vouchers. And then in the window itself, you have charter schools, public school choice, and state mandated curricula as acceptable ideas, things that people are willing to consider right now. Then at the other end, you have homeschooling illegal, private schools illegal, you know, again, and all the way down to compulsory indoctrination in government-run schools. So in the window right now, and I think this is a pretty accurate window that you have, charter schools are something that even the Democrats are talking about now, whereas 10 years ago they wouldn't have, public school choice and state-mandated curricula, three things that are in place. Now, this has moved over the course of the years. Charter schools would have been outside the window, again, maybe a little bit more than a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
So how does something like that move? Is it politicians moving these windows, or is it public opinion?
Yeah, that's an excellent question, and you've nailed it, that over time, this window of what's politically possible changes. And let's take education. When the Mackinac Center was founded in 1988, what you essentially had was at the bottom end of the window, homeschooling was effectively illegal. There were some people who did it, but most people who did so illegally. And then at the top end of the scale, you didn't even have public school choice. You went to the school the government assigned you to, no ifs, ands, or buts, and unless you wanted to opt out and pay private school tuition. So over the years, that has completed, the window has shifted up to now some elected officials can even talk about, well, let's talk about a voucher. And nobody talks about making homeschooling illegal anymore. And now we have charter schools, we have public school choice, all things that 15 years ago weren't on the radar. How did that happen? That happened not because elected officials said, hey, I think I want to choose those other options. It happened when elected officials reacted to a new intellectual climate, a new political climate that organizations like the Mackinac Center, even figures in the media, had created. And so the Overton window actually shifted up to include some policies that were more free policies.
My guest right now is Joe Lehman. He is the president at the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. We're talking about the Overton window, a concept that originated with the Mackinac Center for Public Policy and recently gained a little bit of fame from the Glenn Beck Show the other day. You know, taking a look at this, you suggest that it almost takes, though, a politician to plant the seed, at least, out there to get the idea, to get the window moving, does it not? I mean, because, you know, charter schools were something that I remember when I first started covering the state legislature back in 1994 were really starting to be debated. They weren't there quite yet, but it was starting to gain momentum. Does it take one politician, perhaps, or a leader to create that that movement?
You know, you can't underestimate the power of leadership in an elected official. But more often than not, by the time an elected official begins talking about an idea, you can look back 5 years and find that intellectuals in think tanks and other places have been talking about that idea for 5 years.
Well, you know, I want to use a real-life example of the Overton window. Just I had a conversation earlier on the program with State Representative Alma Wheeler-Smith, who, of course, is a gubernatorial candidate on the Democratic side, but she's unveiling a tax reform proposal. And let's talk about things on the tax scale, the Overton window of the tax scale. You know, what would you have on one end of the tax scale for the least free, and then let's sort of narrow it down from there to the most free?
Sure. On if we did an Overton window scale for taxation, and let's look at a sales tax, the most free would be, well, there is no sales tax. Government gets its funding from other means, and you aren't penalized in any sense. There's no extra money you have to pay when you want to trade. The least free policy is we are going to tax every sale at a very high level. You know, so that the government actually gets all of its revenue just from sales taxes on goods and services. And so Representative Smith's idea is not all that radical. It is well within the Overton window because she's not even talking about a huge increase in the amount of taxation. What she's really talking about is she's saying, look, let's extend the tax on sales so that it covers more items that are bought and sold. And I think it's she wants to extend it on services.
Yes,
is that right?
Yes, but lower the actual tax rate, the sales tax rate, to 5.5% from the current 6%.
Right. So the tax rate would go down, and I think this is notable. Alma Wheeler-Smith is very sensitive to the political climate right now.
Yes, as a candidate.
That's right. And so she knows that lower tax, there's a real sentiment out there right now for lower taxes. So she has packaged her proposal, crafted her proposal in such a way that allows her to say, look, we can lower the tax rate. That's a very important part of selling this proposal. Even we can lower this tax rate even as we extend it to more services.
And so that would fall within the window right now, though. And I guess the question is, you know, taxation is one of those things that can change pretty rapidly, it seems, a window like this, on the types of things people are willing to consider based on the situation we find ourselves in. Do conditions affect the Overton window?
Yes, absolutely. And in fact, the window can lurch up or down rather rapidly depending on the situation. Let's go back to to summer of 2008. Who would have imagined that we could essentially nationalize General Motors and nationalize major banks in this country? Those concepts were completely outside of the window of political possibility. If a politician would have introduced a bill that says, let's nationalize GM, or let's change the bankruptcy rules for an automobile company like Chrysler so that unions get paid before secured creditors, that politician would have risked being run out of office because the ideas were too radical. Now, add a financial crisis to the environment, and the window shifted. All of a sudden, things that were completely unacceptable became political reality. Now, those politicians may yet find they pay a price for those policies. We'll tell in the next election. You know, they may have overshot a little bit, but it shows how changing what happened in the last year shows how changing conditions can change what's politically possible.
Well, Mr. Layman, I guess the question is then is how does a think tank like yours or any other think tank out there, conservative, liberal, whatever, how do they gauge where the window is?
Yeah, that's a great question. It is really an art, and elected officials have to do the same thing. Let's say if there's an elected official who really believes in intuition vouchers, he or she has to say, boy, but how can I get this through? What if enough people don't support this? They've got to test public opinion. They have to see what kind of research has been done about, you know, tuition vouchers, for example. In other words, how, will the concept of vouchers stand up to strong arguments? And so we as a think tank at the Mackinac Center, we view our job as to develop and promote ideas that are better economic policy. And we know that by talking about things, making people familiar with ideas, that it becomes safe for elected officials to discuss those ideas. And here's a perfect example. The concept of right to work in Michigan has always been a controversial one.
It would have been on the radical end of things just a couple of years ago.
Absolutely right. But now, because of Michigan's dire economic situation, you even have centrist business leaders like Peter Karmanos in the Detroit area saying, look, we need to take a look at right to work. And that probably wouldn't have happened, you know, say back in the 1990s when the state was flush.
You think that might still be just a little bit outside the window, though?
It's on the borderline. It really is. But there's no question as to what direction that window is shifting.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it right there. It's fascinating stuff. And Joe Layman, president of the Mackinac Center for Public Policy, we certainly appreciate having you on the program today to talk about a really intriguing concept. Thanks.
Well, thanks a lot, Craig. And if your listeners would like more information on this concept, I hope they'll check out our website at mackinac.org.
Very good. Thank you, sir.